Nightlife Crime.
James Machine Gun Baisley was also known as Australia's oldest known contract killer. When he died, aged 93, less than 2 years ago, he died of natural causes. He'd had long stints behind bars for armed robbery, murdering two drug couriers and conspiring to execute Liberal Party candidate and anti-drugs campaigner Donald Mackay back in the 1970s. But when he died, Baisley took plenty of secrets to his grave, including the whereabouts of Mr. Mackay's body. He always denied involvement. Rochelle Jackson's the author of several true crime books and had many interesting encounters with Baisley over the years, and she joins us now. Rochelle, good evening and welcome back to Nightlife.
Thanks very much, Phil.
Great to have you with us. Before we get into the life and crimes of Baisley, why was he called Machine Gun?
Well, the interesting thing with James, or Jimmy, as I got to know him as, it's because of the rapidity and the quickness with which he spoke. So he actually had a couple of nicknames, Phil. He was called Machine Gun Baisley. Mm-hmm. He was also because he was nicknamed Mr. Cool and also the Iceman, which was completely appropriate. I first got to know Jimmy Baisley when I was writing the biography of Painter and Dockers member and, of course, one of the most feared men on the docks during the 60s and 70s, Billy the Texan Longley. Now, I first met the Texan sort of around about, I think I recall it was 1996 when I was working for Today Tonight, Channel 7's current affairs show, mm-hmm. and it was around this time that I met Jimmy Machine Gun Baisley. So I walk into Billy's little house in Ascot Vale in Melbourne's inner north, and I remember meeting this quiet, slightly built man in a tracksuit. And now he was looking around constantly, his eyes were darting, and I remember reaching out and shaking his hand. There was always this distinct smell of garlic around Jimmy. Because basically, Phil, he was a health nut.
Right.
He was completely into keeping healthy and fit. He'd walk K's every day and he'd eat garlic like you and I would eat an apple. And I remember feeling a lump in his hand as I shook his hand. And I asked Billy about it afterwards and he said that Billy told me that he'd been shot in the hand. So, as you said, this is a man who has quite a reputation. He was 93 years old when he died, and he died in a Melbourne nursing home. And as you said, with his death, he took with him probably Australia's longest enduring murder mysteries.
Yeah, he did.
Was responsible
How did he start? He started as a painters and dockers gunman in the 70s, wasn't he? I mean, he was shot twice himself during the notorious painters and dockers war.
Yeah, look, he's got quite a background, Phil. He's, in 1947, he was convicted of carrying an unregistered pistol while working as a bouncer. Now, this was at an illegal baccarat game in North Melbourne. And then in 1964, Jimmy was convicted of a robbery. He robbed a bank in Collingwood for the paltry sum of $2,070. He was a bit of an escape hand, too. He escaped twice from prison, mm-hmm. and he was released in 1969. But, of course, Jimmy was best mates with Billy the Texan Longley, who described the truest test of friendship was someone who will fight back to back with you in a shoot-up. A true mate wouldn't do a runner when your back was up against the wall. He'd stand by and fight it out. So pretty much, Bill, that's exactly what Jimmy did for Billy Longley during the 1971 Painter and Dockers Wars down the docks. So the two factions were battling for control. And Jimmy Baisley at that stage stood for the position of vigilance officer in Billy's camp.
Right.
Now, Billy was standing up against the establishment and also for president. And in the other camp was a guy by the name of Arthur Morris and Putty Nose Nichols. But as stated in the Costigan Royal Commission, the election was marked by a great deal of violence. So days before this election, where Jimmy was standing for vigilance officer, Alfred the Ferret Nelson went missing and his later model Valiant Charger was found in 19 metres of water at the South Wharf, and it was thought that the ferret was actually killed in revenge for one of Billy's friends, Bob Crotty, who was bashed with a brick and later died from his injuries. So such was the backdrop for these elections.
Yeah.
You know, shortly after the election, but before the declaration of the poll, The ballot papers completely disappeared, and it was rumoured that they were destroyed by a fire at the Union HQ because it was burnt down. When I interviewed Frank Costigan QC about these elections, he said it was a year, 1972 was a year that could be described as mayhem. And he said that the Painters and Dockers election would go down as the bloodiest battle in Australia's history.
Exactly. As you mentioned, though, he went to the grave with a lot of secrets. I mean, maybe the principal one was the whereabouts of Donald McKay, because Baisley was long believed to be the hitman who executed the Donald McKay in Griffith, New South Wales, in 1977. I mean, the McKay case was terrible, wasn't it? Because he was a prominent anti-drugs campaigner. He was, you know, lining up against the Griffith Mafia and so on, and then he disappeared. Although most people think he was shot. Baisley always denied the fact that he'd shot Donald McKay, didn't he?
That's right. Well, look, Baisley was always suspected of being paid $10,000 in a high-profile mafia plot to kill Donald McKay. McKay was shot, as you said, in the car park of the Griffith Hotel on July 15, 1977, and Jimmy disposed of the businessman's body. Now, Donald McKay's assassination led to all these multiple inquiries, royal commissions, but his murder still remains officially unsolved, and his body has never been found.
I mean, Baisley was never charged with it, was he?
Never charged. And, in fact, it was something that he always did. It was alleged that he was the gunman in the killing of Donald McKay. And he wasn't arrested until 1986. As you said, Jimmy always denied that he was involved.
What do you think? Do you think he did? Do you think he did shoot Donald McKay?
Look, I had some extraordinary experiences with Jimmy. As I said, I met him initially and shook him, by his hand. But, I remember one afternoon walking down Billy the Texan Longley's hallway in his little house in Ascot Vale in Melbourne's inner north, and I was getting ready to interview Billy and preparing myself. Now, suddenly from out of nowhere, a slight figure leapt out of the shadows with what I thought and what I believed was a gun in his hand. It seemed to me like a cocked, loaded gun. Bang, 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 the figure yelled. I dropped to the floor, completely shaking, and I was scared out of my mind. I looked up. What the hell? It was Jimmy Baisley. He was in his tracksuit, holding his hand out as though it was a loaded pistol. And he was laughing and laughing and laughing. I just said, Jimmy, but he just kept laughing. In fact, he was crying. That's how much he was laughing. He was the sort of guy that someone that you completely underestimated, Phil. Mm. And this is the thing, you know.
But he never revealed anything, did he, about the disappearance of Donald McKay?
No, that's right. He was always alleged to be the gunman. One of the most interesting cases was in February 75 when he was foiled escaping from a raid on another bank by a one-legged butcher. Now, he got bail despite police objections and promptly did a runner, obviously running faster than the one-legged butcher. But, look, this is the thing. He did lots of he was finally done and sentenced to life in prison over the double murder of drug couriers Isabel and Douglas Wilson. Now, their bodies were found buried in Rye in May 1979. And, of course, the Wilsons were part of the Mr. Asia drug syndicate.
Right.
Apparently, Jimmy was also ordered to kill the Wilsons' dog, Barge. But Jimmy, of course, was a dog lover and a former poodle breeder, and he refused. Dog apparently was found later wandering in a Brunswick street. He was finally sentenced to 9 years in jail for conspiracy to murder Donald McKay and a further 4 years for a 270,000 armed robbery. So I think his minimum sentence was set at about 15 years, and he was released. Machine Gun Baisley was released in 2011 at 75 years of age. And despite this criminal record, Phil, he was described as a model prisoner and someone who did his time very, very quietly.
I'm talking with Rochelle Jackson, true crime author, about the life and times of James Baisley. often nicknamed James Machine Gun Baisley, Australia's oldest known contract killer. He died aged 93 in late 2018. So he came out when he was 77, did his time quietly, as you say. Did he ever get into trouble again for the next, 20 years, or well, less than 20 years that he had left?
Well, look, the interesting thing is, I remember going to Mick Gatto's book launch, and his book was entitled I, Mick Gatto, in 2009. Now, these were the sorts of events that were very high profile, and I remember spotting Jimmy and his wife Lillian at the book launch upstairs at a very expensive Italian restaurant in Collins Street. And Jimmy was surrounded by media and cameramen who completely ignored him, probably not even realising who he was. And you know what? It was so easy to underestimate Jimmy Machine Gun Baisley. And in reflection, I suppose, Phil, this probably served him very well. He lived very quietly for the rest of his years, living with his wife Lillian. And, you know, as I said, the interesting thing, though, when Jimmy passed away, colourful Melbourne identity, Mick Gatto, put in a death notice about him in the Herald Sun. And it read, Jimmy was a very loyal, staunch friend.
There you go.
I leave you with that.
yeah, there you go. All right, the life and times of James Baisley. Rochelle, terrific to talk. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.